Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You may be seated.
I don't know if you've heard the story of the preacher. He got an opportunity to speak in front of several thousand people. I don't know if you've had that chance before. It would probably bring about quite a bit of nerves, maybe some anxiousness. Except for the fact that this audience wasn't like your normal audience that a speaker would speak to. As a matter of fact, he spoke to those who he disagreed with, and those who disagreed with him. And I couldn't imagine what it was like to be in his shoes. So he got up, and he didn't talk very long. But his words were so well crafted, and they cut and pierced to the heart of his audience, his listeners, that a bunch of those people, thousands as a matter of fact, changed their thought process. And they went from enemies to friends. So there's another guy I read about, preacher again. And not that he preached all the time, it's just when he had chances he did that. He had other professions. He had another job that he took care of and made money with. But he had a chance to speak yet again. However, in this opportunity and on this location, he was with his enemies, except this time he was speaking in a country where it was illegal in some ways to speak freely about your Lord, especially about God, the God of the Bible. And so he did that anyway. It actually led to his arrest and he got put in prison. I don't know what it's like to be that guy. And I don't know if you've picked up on the fact that that guy is Peter. In Acts chapter 2, when he spoke before a bunch of his enemies, not his enemies, but those who disagreed with him. And later on in the middle of Acts, proclaiming Jesus as Lord, the government said, "You can't do that," and put him in prison. Let me just pause for a second and say, I want to be used like Peter. And I want to be used powerfully by God. Don't you want that? Let me ask you another question. Do you just want to be somebody who wears the name Christ, that professes Christianity, living the best you can, I guess, but really never being used in a powerful way? How about that? That's your desire, isn't it? Your desire is to be average. Your desire is to just kind of fall through the cracks and not ever really have an influence or an impact on the kingdom. Who in the world wants that? Probably nobody in this building. Because you're probably a lot like me. You want to be a powerful influence for Jesus in this world. You want to have a kingdom impact that will last throughout eternity. And that's something you crave and you desire. And so you, like me, are probably opening up the Bible and you're reading about all these people. And you're thinking, there's no way I measure up to that. I can't be that. I can't preach like that. I can't have an influence like that. I don't measure up. Well, maybe we've missed it. Maybe there's a thought, behind looking at these men and women of within Scripture, these men and women of God. And maybe we've missed the boat with the thought, I don't measure up. I want to look at one person today. His name's Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you haven't read through 1 and 2 Peter recently, you need to go back and be reading through those two short letters. It is wonderful to hear the words of Peter. I want to be a person who speaks like this, who says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be the person that says, you know, grace and peace. May grace and peace be given to you and multiplied in your life. I want you to be filled with the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you want to speak like that? I know you do. Sometimes, again, I just don't measure up. But maybe there's something I've missed about that measure up idea. So, catchy title, Simon Says. Of course, from the game, Simon Says. Moving on from that, because it's really unimportant. Let me tell you a little bit about Peter, this guy, Peter the Apostle. Because I think in order for us to understand the message of the day, we've got to learn a little bit about the man, so his family. Who was he? Well, Peter, the son of Jonah, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, Simon, Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. That's his dad. So he came from a family. And he had a brother, Andrew, that he worked in business with as a business fisherman on the Sea of Galilee, according to Mark 1, Matthew chapter 4. So he came from a normal family. He had a regular business, a job, grunt work, we might even call it at times. So he was just a normal person from a normal family. He was a married individual. And it's spoken about. His mother-in-law, going to the house of his mother-in-law. It's spoken about again in another situation where in his ministry, he said, Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, don't I have a right to take along my wife just like Cephas? So really cool thing about Peter. He's from a normal family. Parents. He's got brothers and sisters. Siblings, you might too. He worked a regular job. You do too. He was married. Some of us are married today. What does that tell me about Peter? He's just a regular person. Did you get that, church? Just a regular person. Now, yes, in his ministry, he does wonderful things. As a matter of fact, in the gospel accounts, he was one of the first people called by Jesus. And in every single account where the apostles are listed, he's the first guy. I don't think that's an accident. As a matter of fact, when the Bible gives a bunch of lists, I think that's significant. And I think it's listed in the way it's listed for a particular reason oftentimes. And so he was the first one. Not only was he one of the first ones called, not only was he the first one on the list, not only did he bring his wife in ministry, which, by the way, what a wonderful thing to be united with your spouse in mission work, in ministry work, in service for Jesus. Please do that if you're a married person. But also, he was in the inner circle of Jesus' trusted apostles. He was one of three people to see a little girl who died but came back to life. He was one of three to see that transfiguration account where Jesus went to another place, he pulled the three, Peter, James, and John, and that wonderful transfiguration scene happened. He was one of three when they went to the mount. And the agony of Gethsemane, when Jesus went a little bit farther with Peter, James, and John, where his sweat drops became like blood. He was one of those three. So even though he was just a regular person, obviously there was something about him that God used in a powerful way. And he actually held a really awesome place in the inner circle of Jesus' apostles. So maybe that's where we begin to think, I don't measure up. I'm normal like Peter, family, brothers, jobs, spouse, whatever. I'm normal, but I'm not there. Stick with me. He's not just a normal person with an awesome apostleship ministry. I want to showcase to you his humanity. This is where we bring it back down to earth. Because here's the point I'm getting at. God uses normal people to carry out His wonderful will. So he denied Jesus infamously 3 times. Even though he spoke before thousands, previous to that, he denied Jesus before maybe even tens. He showed his humanity in a normal way. He denied Jesus, and upon that realization that he denied Jesus his Lord, he wept bitterly. He realized what he had done in that sin, and it brought him to great emotion. You've probably been there before. That's a showcase of his humanity. It showcases to me that God uses people in their humanity, in real humanity, to carry out his wonderful will. So denied Jesus, he realized it. He wept bitterly upon recognizing it in that wonderful scene in Luke chapter 22 when Jesus is being tried for nothing except for being the perfect Lord. And the Bible says in Luke's account that Jesus gazed at or looked directly at Peter through the courtyard, through the crowd, into the place where he's being tried. And so Jesus' eyes saw Peter, and that brought Peter to great emotion and weeping. Peter was a normal person who showcased normal humanity. He was restored by Jesus at the end of John when Jesus makes those 3 statements, feed my sheep, tend to them, take care of them. I'm restoring you despite your humanity. I'm restoring you to your place of ministry. And it was through his mouth that God decided to declare that Acts chapter 2 lesson, that sermon, that life-changing account that Jesus is Lord. You crucified him, but he's the risen Lord. Now come and repent of your sins and be baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was that crowd that was pricked to the heart through the mouth of Peter by the power of the gospel of Jesus. He was a normal person. And it was later on in Acts chapter 10 and 11. Not only did God choose Peter's mouth to share the gospel with for the Jews, but it was through Peter's mouth in Acts 10 and 11 that God chose to open the door of the gospel to the Gentiles and to the rest of the world. What does that show me about Peter? He's a normal person. He's a regular human who is imperfect, but used powerfully by God. What does it mean to be a human and someone who wants to be a servant of God? Well, notice this. God called Peter when Peter wasn't necessarily looking for it. And I think that can be real in your life. God called Peter through his family. Maybe one of your family members has brought you to this gathering today, and God is calling you through one of your family members today. Peter may have not been looking for it. Maybe you aren't either. God used Peter and his family. You might be trying to figure out, how can we be a family where we proclaim Jesus and serve in ministry? We're going to get to that in just a moment. But God can use your family. You might have been somebody who's messed up and been stuck in sin, trapped in the snares and the slavery that Satan wants to keep you down with. Well, God forgave Peter. God not only forgave Peter, he repurposed him. And God can do that within your life. God will forgive you freely by the blood of Jesus. Wasn't free for him, but it's free for us. And he can repurpose you. He can rework you. And he can put you back into ministry for kingdom influence. And he can empower you to speak with the right words and at the right time. So why do we say, or why do I think I don't measure up to Peter? It's because I'm not comparing myself to Peter. I think it's because I'm looking at the God who empowers him. And you know what? Nobody will ever measure up. But that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of the ministry that God is entrusting us with. He knows we don't measure up. He knows we're far from perfect. He recognizes our humanity, and he still, and despite of, and in light of all of those things, he chooses to push us and move us into kingdom influence and ministry. I don't measure up to God, but I can be just like Peter. I can be a disciple of Jesus. What does it mean to be a disciple? It means I'm not perfect. It means I'm like Peter. And when I look at Peter's life, all I see is God's power. All I see is God's power. I see no perfect man. I see no individual who rises above the rest. I see a regular person from a regular family who committed himself in life and service and ministry for the Lord Jesus. And I see somebody who showcased his humanity time and time again. But I see somebody who was repurposed and put back in according to God's plan. I really see me. Do you see you? In Peter's life too? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? It means my life is all about God's power. It means my life is all about God's faithfulness. It means when I have the thought that I don't measure up, it's because I can't, I won't, and I never will. But it's never been about where I measure or who I measure up to. But it's always been about what has God done for me to bring me into covenant relationship with Him through His Son Jesus. That's what the gospel is all about. So do we measure up? No. But I want to steal the words of Paul. When Paul said, therefore I boast all the more gladly in my weakness. Because when I'm weak, then he's strong. And God's power is made perfect in my weakness. When we recognize and accept our imperfections. When we accept our weaknesses, not so that we continue on in them, but that we're not continually weighing ourselves down because of them. Jesus paid the price. Jesus forgave us by his blood. Now we've been set free from the weight of our sin. And if we do have shame or guilt, that guilt will lead to a godly repentance that leads to salvation without regret. And so I'm set free. I'm set free and I can move powerfully in this life with kingdom influence. Because when I'm weak, aka when I showcase my humanity but serve God anyway, that's when he's strong. You know what I see in Peter? It's about showing how strong God is. Man, I see me in Peter. I see you in Peter. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Well, Simon says, it means it's not about you. It's not about your strength. But it's about the glory of the Father. It's about the grace and the peace that's being multiplied in your life by the power of Jesus and the sanctification of the Spirit. For obedience to Jesus as we've been washed in his blood. And so blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's according to his great mercy that he caused us to be born again, to leave behind our humanity and come alive in the Spirit. He's caused us to be born again to a living hope. One of my favorite songs to listen to right now, and as we were driving home last night, it's You Keep Hope Alive. You keep hope alive. Man, I wish I could go through and sing that song right now. It would be a terrible, terrible rendition of that song. You look up the song, You Keep Hope Alive, and see how it will fill you and motivate you and move you. Why? Because hope in Christ brings me through and empowers me to live despite whatever I'm dealing with in this life. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it's not just that Jesus rose from the dead, but because he rose and ascended into heaven, we've been given an inheritance. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. We've been given an inheritance that is imperishable, that's undefiled, that's unfading, that is kept in heaven for you. And it makes sense, right? Because in John chapter 14, Jesus said, listen, I'm going away, but don't worry, it's okay. Because where I go, you're going to come also. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to bring you to that place. I see Peter. I don't actually see a person. I see God's power in the life of a broken human who by God's power, 1 Peter 1 verse 4, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? It means I follow. I follow in his footsteps. What does it mean to be a disciple? It means to be like Peter. To showcase this life, it's not about me, but God's power within me. What's it mean to be a disciple? It means as a real human, when you have the thought, I don't measure up and I can't, you quickly wipe it away and throw it out of your mind and out of your heart and say this. A disciple? Well, it's all about God's power. And when I'm weak, then he's strong. And therefore, I boast all the more gladly in my weakness. So the true strength of God can be showcased in my witness, in my life, and in my testimony of Jesus the Christ. I want to empower your mind and your heart that you can be a disciple of Jesus. You should be a disciple of Jesus. And we want to encourage you to be one if you're not today. Peter made the statement in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. When that crowd was pierced to the heart at the message of Jesus, the power of Jesus as the crucified and risen Lord, they said, What shall we do to be saved? He said simply, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there, that day, souls were added by God to the body of Christ. To be a disciple, you've got to come into a relationship with Jesus, and that's where it happens. That's how God makes that happen. And we want to encourage you to consider that if you haven't done that yet. But if you've been a disciple for some time, and maybe your fellowship has gotten off course, come back to the path. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way means road. Jump back on board with Jesus. Come back to that life in the family of Christ. We want to encourage you in your discipleship. And if we can help you in any other way, let me know as we stand and sing this song together.